This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. As is usual, after the weekend, I like to start with some good news and mostly from the sporting world, and this is no exception. The European Windsurfing Championships are currently being held or were held over the weekend in Portugal, in Portimão. And in the women's event, Israelis took first, second, and fourth.
Wow.
In this event. And the winner, the gold medalist, was Tamar Steinberg. Shachar Tibi finished second, and Daniela Peleg was fourth. I mean, it could almost have been a podium lockout for the Israeli girls, which is an incredible achievement. In the boys' event, Israelis took fourth and fifth place as well. So still eyes on the Los Angeles Olympic Games coming up in a couple of years, and the hope that Israelis will be gold medal contenders for the Los Angeles Olympic Games. But in the meantime, doing really great in the local championships and also in the world championship as well, where Tamar Steinberg also took the gold medal that was in France earlier this year. Howard, we had this discussion on Wednesday where one of the listeners wrote in very vociferously about people left and right wing views and how he felt that the radio should particularly present a more balanced view. The listener, whose name I don't know, and that's okay, spoke about two things which I just wanted to pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
The first comment that I wanted to pick up on was the comment that he said, we have already lost the media war. And I just wonder whether that's correct, because, I mean, people like you get up at, you know, ungodly hours of the morning in order to continue to fight this media war. And so if we feel we've already lost the media war, why bother? What's the point? And I think the truth of the matter is that the media war is a war that we fight every day from scratch. I don't think it's won or lost at any moment in time. I think that every day you still have the opportunity to try to do whatever you can in order to present whatever it is you present, whether it's facts or whether it's points of view. I think that we have the opportunity to do that anew every single day. And as I say, people like you and your team do a great job. You get up early in the morning and you're very committed to it. And I think rightly so, because I think there are still opportunities to present to people. And I think it also depends on who your audience is, because I think in your case, you have an audience who appreciates the fact that the truth is spoken and that there are certain views that are expressed which may or may not agree with your views. And that's okay, because I think we can distinguish very clearly between fact and views and points of view. So I think that to the extent that we have a reliable source of information, which when we hear it, we can really trust it rather than having to decipher amongst all the fake news, I think that that media war is still one that is worthy of fighting and that is being fought. And I think that people even like this particular listener who wasn't very excited about listening to you was obviously listening for some reason. And I'm guessing the reason was that even he appreciates the truth being told rather than having to try to decipher between all the different bits of fake news. The other thing that I just wanted to mention was there was a reference to being having a choice to be a weak Jew or a tough Jew. And listeners may remember that this was all in the context of the behavior of Itamar Ben-Gvir when he came to those flotilla participants. And this particular listener thought that Ben-Gvir was okay that he should do that, and that he shouldn't turn the other cheek, and that was representative of being a strong Jew rather than a weak Jew. Now, here comes my opinion on this rather than a fact. My opinion is that I don't think that Itamar Ben-Gvir is necessarily the epitome of a strong Jew. I think he has certain points of view. I think that when other strong Jews go out and do their job quietly and enforce the rules and really put themselves on in harm's way in order to be strong Jews, then it's easy for him to come and wave a flag and say this is a great job, and you know, to denigrate people who have already been dealt with by others before him. I don't think that he is the strong Jew. I think he's riding on the coattails of others. And let's give credit where credit is due. It is the Israeli Navy who were the strong Jews. They went out into the international waters. They did the job quietly, but forcefully. They brought the people back. They dealt with it. Ben-Gvir may well want to take credit for it, and I think it's more about electioneering than anything else. But I am not sure that he, for me, is the real example of what a strong Jew is and how a strong Jew should behave. I see things slightly differently. And I suppose we will have to agree to disagree on that point.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what is happening with the agreement in Iran, because is it going to be signed? What do we know? It is one of the most confusing updates that in terms of what's gone on over the last while that I can recall.
So here is where we try to sift out the fake news from the real news. And I'm finding it very difficult to sift it out, because to be honest, there is just so much conflicting information. Everybody very strongly putting their point of view across about, you know, everybody saying, oh, I've seen a draft of the agreement. It doesn't include any reference to the nuclear program. Okay, so let's try and see if there's any official information that we can try to sift through. Because even the official statements coming out from President Trump, I mean, the latest thing that came out from President Trump was a picture of an aircraft with a missile attached underneath the aircraft. And the message that's written in big letters on the missile is, "Thank you for your attention to this matter." That came out from President Trump. Now, exactly what this missile is meant to signify and what the message is that he's trying to get across is your guess is as good as mine, because it doesn't say anything official or clear. It's all kind of attempts to try to hint towards certain things. And I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to read into this. President Trump did say that there has been progress towards coming to an agreement with Iran. It is also noticeable that there have been various individuals from Pakistan, from Qatar, who have been traveling in and out of Iran, ostensibly to try to progress coming to an agreement. President Trump has said unequivocally that the issue of the nuclear program will be addressed in any agreement, contrary to what other people are saying, that it's not being addressed. President Trump has said quite clearly that it will be addressed. He has also said that the issue of the blockade of the Straits of Hormuz will be addressed. And he's also said that they will not agree to allow Iran to charge exorbitant fees for ships that transgress, go through the Straits of Hormuz. The Iranians have come out saying exactly the opposite. We are not talking about the nuclear program right now. That's a little too difficult. Right now, we're just going to open the Straits of Hormuz and, from the Iranian point of view, unblock the assets that have been frozen and that have been sanctioned, because for them, that's a major issue. The Israeli newspapers this morning are saying that the deal fails to address missiles and that it fails to address proxies, as apparently, according to this report, Iran has agreed in principle to dispose of its enriched uranium. So there are so many conflicting views that my counsel to listeners trying to make sense of this is, don't jump to conclusions until we know for sure exactly what we are getting. There does seem to be some sort of a movement towards coming to an agreement. President Trump, interestingly, also announced that he'd had a massive phone call with many, many, many leaders from the Arab world, the Gulf states, and all other interested parties, except for Israel. That was one call which he had with all of these leaders. He mentioned them all by name, from Saudi Arabia, from Jordan, Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, all the Gulf and Arab countries around who might be interested. And then he had a call separately with Prime Minister Netanyahu, a call that went very well, according to the way that President Trump described it. Now, I'm not quite sure how what very well means, but Prime Minister Netanyahu certainly made a statement where he acknowledges the work that President Trump is doing. He thinks he's doing a great job, and that he has reiterated once more, this is Prime Minister Netanyahu, that there will be no agreement without the Iranian nuclear program being addressed. So I think the best we can advise is to wait and see. There does seem to be something in the offing, and whether it will be an agreement or whether it will be a renewal of the attack against Iran is still 50-50, because nobody really can tell, given the conflicting information that we're getting from both sides. One little interesting snippet that I want to add is that there has been a comment, some sort of report, which suggests that President Trump has said to the Arab countries in the Gulf and elsewhere that one of the conditions as part of this agreement, obviously not directly with Iran, but in general, is that those Arab countries who don't already have peace agreements with Israel will be required to enter into a process to come to a peace agreement with Israel, most notably Saudi Arabia, I'm guessing also potentially Kuwait and Qatar. I think that's an interesting statement. Whether we can actually believe that that will happen remains to be seen, but nevertheless an interesting statement.
The Hezbollah chief has called for the overthrow of the Lebanese government. How's this been received?
Yeah, so this was a very kind of strange speech by Naim Qassem that was made yesterday. And he, of course, came out against Israel, and he threatened Israel, as we would expect. And I just wonder to what extent he is being empowered by the current impasse between Iran and the United States. There seems to me little doubt that if Iran comes out of this particular conflict with any credibility, it will strengthen Hezbollah most considerably. It will also strengthen Hamas in Gaza. So I think that the way in which the United States is handling the agreement with Iran is very influential over other events on Israel's borders. But the U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio was very, very quick to come out and criticize Naim Qassem, saying that he has no right to call for the overthrow of a legitimate government. Of course, the reason that he's calling for the overthrow of the Lebanese government is because he perceives that they are cooperating too much with Israel and with the IDF, who are doing a really great job of cleaning out southern Lebanon while the opportunity exists. Unfortunately, this comes at a heavy price for the IDF and for Israel, with another soldier having been killed announced this morning by an explosive drone. And each and every one is heartrending for us, because, you know, we just send our, this is a soldier who was 19 years old at the time that he was killed. And and I'll mention his name, of course, Sergeant Nohorai Liza, who was killed by an explosive drone, 19 years old, and comes from Eilat. It's a massive price that we are paying, but the IDF is doing a great job. And I think that the speech by Naim Qassem shows that Hezbollah is really feeling the stress right now and looking somehow to get rid of the Lebanese government, who he perceives to be supporting and helping Israel.
Anthony Reich, that is where we do need to leave it, unfortunately, because so much more to talk about, but we'll have to do that tomorrow morning, 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.